a new year, everybody. It is 2026. We are so glad that you are joining us for a midweek mini episode. We are starting January with some beginner-friendly episodes for those who have just entered the points and miles world, but my experts don't leave us because you always need reminders in this space. There is simply so much information to learn that your brain cannot keep it all in all the time. So we hope you join us over the next couple of Wednesdays as we go into digging in some of the points, learning opportunities in the points and miles world to make sure that everybody has a really strong foundation for this hobby.
Yeah. And if this is stuff that's all super familiar to you, maybe this is the point where you start sharing this with a friend. I know that everybody has these 2026 goals for themselves, whether they be travel more, get healthy, do better with your budgeting. So for anybody that's really looking to harness the power of points and miles in 2026, share this with a friend. Bring your friend on board. Get them as obsessed as you are. It's a lot of fun when you have friends that do this as well. So,
so much more fun.
Yeah, it really is. It makes all the difference in the world. So today we are going to discuss something that we've talked about a lot, which is why you should earn and burn, baby.
Earn and burn. It is a phrase that you hear a lot in award travel, the points and miles world. But why? Why do you earn and burn? I think of my money and my savings account as things that I don't know, I just want to save up and build up, and you want to see this big number like, oh, I'm a points millionaire, I've got all these points. But credit card rewards and points and loyalty points through hotels and airlines are not the same as money in your savings account. They are not your 401k, and they should not be treated as such. So we're going to get into why you should really consider, don't hoard your points, why you should consider earning and burning your rewards.
Right, guys, these are a depreciating asset. It's like your car, okay? They lose value over time. There are always devaluations happening in the points and miles world. Sitting on them truly does not benefit you in any way. And I heard a really staggering statistic the other day. I might be slightly off on the number, but it was something like 86% of all credit card rewards miles are never cashed in.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
It
oh my goodness, that hurts my heart.
Mind. I know. So let's not be those people. Let's be the people that are literally draining our points balances straight to zero and then starting over, because you want to take advantage of these while they are at the maximum value that you are ever going to get for them.
Okay, so let's go with the number one reason that you should do this: devaluation. Airlines and hotels can change the price of a given award seat or room at any time, and often with no notice. This is called a devaluation. It is very common. It happens. You should not be shocked to see it happen. Some brands give you notice, which is wonderful. We love Hyatt hotels. There's a ton of value in Hyatt hotels. Actually, in about February-ish of every year, they go ahead and release a list of all the hotels. They don't call it a devaluation. They just say some properties are changing award categories, and technically some get better. They can move categories up or they can move categories down. They change the categories, which means maybe your free night certificate isn't good anymore because a hotel will move from a 4 to a 5 category. Or your points, the hotel that used to be 15,000 points is now going to be 20,000 points. You know, I'm just throwing out numbers here. But Hyatt is great about letting us know. They will give us a little bit of warning so that you can go in and you can book, you can use up your points for any properties that maybe you were interested in and are changing categories. But other programs are not so friendly like that. They don't give us a heads up. You know, that flight that cost 50,000 miles one day, the next day it's 70,000 miles. You know, overnight it lost 28% of your value, your points, your savings that you have been holding all that time. You know, poof, they're worth less. They're not going to buy you the same flight that you thought they could. So this is an important reason to consider. As soon as you know you want to go somewhere and you have the points for it, go ahead and book it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, British Airways literally just did one of these devaluations. There's a lot of programs also that have something called dynamic pricing, which is different than Hyatt. Hyatt is a fixed award chart. A lot of other brands like Delta, United, Marriott, they have dynamic award pricing, which means it fluctuates based on the cash price. So this can make it harder to find those sweet spot redemptions. And that's really where we see the most value from our points in the first place.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you do not know when devaluations are going to happen. Just don't be shocked. They really stink, but know that that's part of it. And it doesn't mean that your points, it's not worth going for the points. Like, don't get so discouraged by it that you don't still stay in this game, because there are so many wonderful redemptions to be had. When one sweet spot goes away, another sweet spot is found. So
amen.
Just know we're not going to hoard the points. We're going to use them and enjoy them.
Yeah, the name of the game is pivot. So we're always being flexible in this game, always pivoting and always earning and burning. Number two, there is no interest. There is no protection. Your points are not insured. They are not growing in your points account. If you keep $5,000 in like a high yield savings, it can grow. If you sit on 500,000 miles in one of your airline loyalty accounts, they are stagnant. They are not growing. They are perhaps even losing value, as we just talked about.
Yeah. Another kind of point to mention here is that these are uninsured assets in a way. Like, this is not a bank that is FDIC insured, you know. These are points that a really sad example recently in the last 6 months, Mesa. That was a card that came on the market for people to pay mortgages. People were earning tons of points. There were really good redemptions. People had accounts just full of Mesa points. And Mesa, boom, overnight, just disappeared. The transfer partners were gone. Your points, you could cash them in at a fraction of what they were worth just the day before with no notice, just poof. And that was so heartbreaking for people. I mean, that was really sad. But that's what you think about with some of these companies. There's really good opportunities. And some people with Mesa, they booked incredible trips. They earned the points. They cashed them in with really good deals with transfer partners. And it was great while it lasted. But it was gone overnight, which is
right.
It was scary. It was very scary for everyone in the points world, I think.
Yeah, it is scary, but it does help me reframe my mind a little bit, because I have now booked, I have a trip booked almost every month through August, and I have depleted almost every point that I have. I had a bunch and now they're basically gone. And there is a part of my mind that wants to panic not having a stockpile. I'm like, what if something comes up and I can't go? But in reality, they are holding on to trips that for the most part are refundable. Those points can come back if I need them to, but they're actually safer holding on to my trips than they are sitting in a loyalty account where something like what happened to Mesa could suddenly happen. Now, is this likely? No, this was a wild occurrence, but it is a good reframing to not feel anxiety about depleting your points and about booking trips, because that's what it's for. And that is a very good shift to practice, because I think a lot of people feel the need to be sitting on a stockpile.
Yeah, we do feel that way. We think, oh, got to have my 6 month savings account, right? In my bank for my lifestyle. They say, oh, it's good to have like 6 months of savings for an emergency fund. These points are not your emergency fund. Use them. Number three, the risk of account closure or even expiration. Okay, expiration, some points do expire, some do not. Every loyalty program is different. Every bank is different. Many credit card points don't expire as long as your account is open. But airline and hotel miles often do if they don't see some kind of activity, say for 12 to 24 months, you could lose everything without realizing it. If you have a chunk of points sitting in an airline program, and then, you know, maybe you canceled a trip and they're just kind of sitting there waiting on you to rebook, and a year goes by and you kind of forgot about them and you didn't book anything else, they could just be gone.
Yeah, this is why it's nice to have a tool like Award Wallet or Gondola AI that kind of categorizes and shows you where all of your points are so you can stay on top of them. I also know that there are little tricks, like with American Airlines, if you don't have a booking in mind, I think you can make a really small points donation to a charity. My parents have done this before, and like 1,000 points you could donate to charity. I don't really know how that works, or I guess they cash that in for cash value and donate it, but it keeps your account active and resets the entire thing. You could probably also make a booking and cancel it. There are options here, but you also have to know that these exist. And the best thing, in our opinion, to do is just be spending the points and not sitting on them anyways.
Another thing that can keep your account active is using a shopping portal. We have a full episode about shopping portals coming up very soon. But if you say you haven't booked, we'll just use American since you were talking about American. You can go to the AA shopping, buy something, you will earn a little bit of points, and that points earning is activity. So go to some, you know, various airline shopping portals, buy something through the shopping portal one day, and that'll be a little bit of points earning that'll keep your account active as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing is the risk of account closures, and it is so sad how often I have been seeing this on the Facebook groups lately. People are literally just having their accounts shut down with no notice. Chase very specifically likes to do this, and it's kind of unclear why. I think sometimes there's suspected fraud, but people have had a really hard time challenging this and getting points restored. So it's yet another reason not to be sitting on a bunch of points. And it's a very good reason to be making sure you're using all of your cards at least just a little bit. I have more Chase cards than any other brand. I think I have 7 Chase cards, and I have little tiny recurring expenses set up on each of them just to keep it active, because if any of them are sitting for a long time, that's one of the things that I believe signals Chase to be like, what's going on here? Should we just shut this whole thing down? And then you can lose chunks of points.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. There's a lot of Facebook groups for people who are into points and miles. We hope you are in our Facebook group. If you search Traveling on Points, you will see a Wonderland on Points Facebook group. Join it. It is common to see in groups where people say, hey, I don't know what happened. Overnight, Chase shut me down. My points are gone. What can I do? Is there hope of getting my points back? You don't want to be in that situation. Again, don't be transferring points speculatively for no good reason, but at the same time, you're in this hobby because you love to travel. So look for opportunities to travel. There is an opportunity cost that you really need to consider. Every point has a cash equivalent. By holding on to all these points, say 200,000 points in a bank, that's worth, you know, 2,000 to 4,000, even more in actual cash value. You're essentially leaving that money on the table, because if using points frees up your actual cash to be, say, invested in the stock market or your savings account somewhere that it can grow with interest, consider that. Use the points rather than your cash when you have the chance. Let your cash grow in a different account.
Another thing that we talk about all the time, kind of in this same vein, is analysis paralysis. We both have this really bad, especially when it comes to new cards and which ones to open. But people get this with their redemptions too. They really want to wait for that perfect redemption. There is not always a perfect redemption. And the time that it takes to find your unicorn flight, 3 other devaluations could have happened, and your eventual perfect trip is more expensive than the good one you could have booked right from the beginning. So especially if you're talking domestic and fully refundable, like I said before, book things. You can get them back. You can cancel anytime you want. It is more challenging with international carriers or hotels. You need to look at the rules. I have seen a lot of people get into this hobby with the misunderstanding that everything in points is refundable without any kind of a cancellation fee. And that is not the case. So make sure you do research on the specific place that you're booking. But you've got to challenge yourself in that paralysis. Nothing is perfect, but it can be amazing.
Yes. Now, I would say we want to leave you. We don't want to be so gloom and doom.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a very gloom and doom episode, guys. But there are exceptions to this earn and burn mindset, and that is some strategic saving. If you have a very specific goal in mind, a trip that you're going to take, and you need, say, 120,000 points because you have a honeymoon coming up in 10 months that you're saving for, you know, once you hit that target, though, that savings target, book the trip as fast as you can. So yes, earn and burn, but we understand that there's some amount of saving up because some of the trips take a lot of points. So you do have to save up. And usually your points in the bigger banks are pretty safe. Newer programs that pop up definitely should be treated with a little more skepticism. Maybe use your points a little quicker in those programs. Take advantage of them. They're cool. Lots of new opportunities are popping up. The award travel world is growing. It's changing. It's bigger than ever. But just, you know, be a little skeptical of new programs. Use them or, you know, we don't want to lose them.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want you panic redeeming. We also don't want you anxiously sitting on stockpiles. Pro tip, treat your points like a checking account, not a 401k. Use them to fund your lifestyle today and trust that you can, in fact, earn more. We know that with people getting disappointed about things like the Chase Sapphire Preferred rules changing, it can feel like, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to earn these anymore, so I must hold on to them tightly. There are always ways, guys, and we are here to try to show you and teach you those ways. We're coming to you with all the loopholes that we can find. We're showing you what we do in our own homes and how we help people all the time be booking these trips. So we hope that you will continue to join us here on the Wonderland on Points podcast so that we can continue to learn and grow together. Reach out to us, ask us questions, stick around for 2 episodes a week, and hopefully in no time, you will also be traveling on Points and Miles.
Find us on Instagram. You can find me, Mary Ellen, at Family Travel for the Win. You can find Joanna over at Points to Wonderland. As we mentioned, we have a Facebook group. We would love to connect with you. Share your questions, your redemptions in our Facebook group. There's a ton of people there that want to help each other out. Everybody grows by sharing information and learning together. So coming up in the next few weeks, as we teased at the beginning, we're going to be talking about shopping portals. We're going to talk about the tools for finding the best partner redemptions. A lot of good information coming out the next couple weeks. A lot to learn in these midweek minis. So we will see you next time.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.